Hi, everybody, and welcome to this special episode of the Combinate podcast. I'm your host, Subi Sade. On this episode, I was joined by Michelle Wu, who's the CEO and co-founder of Nyquist AI. In this episode, Michelle and I talk about how she deals with skeptical quality folks. We discuss generative AI and pre-trained models. We talk about distilling decades of medtech data into something that's usable, removing the tribal knowledge barrier that's common for people who don't have a lot of experience. And we talk about adopting new technologies in quality and regulatory. Before we get to the episode, I did want to say, if you're not currently subscribed to the show, please hit subscribe on whatever platform you're listening on. And if you would be gracious enough to give the show 5 stars, that would be amazing. If you do have feedback, please feel free to reach out to me with topics you'd like me to cover, people you'd like me to talk to, or anything else. I'd love to hear from you. With that, here is Michelle Wu.
Hello, Combi Nation. My name is Subi Sade. I've spent over a decade in medical device, pharma, and combination product development. Our industry feels complicated sometimes. Drugs, devices, clinical trials, submissions, sterilization, validation, design control, risk management, market access, reimbursement. The list goes on. My goal is mastery. So this podcast is to ask questions I have to people who may have the answers. Each week on the Combinate podcast, I talk to someone about their area to further understand and simplify. Whether you're a pharma person trying to understand the next wave of products, or a device person trying to navigate a pharma system you're unfamiliar with, or a newbie in both areas, I invite you to listen. And together, we can simplify by combinating.
So I've seen once that quality professionals are practitioners of making things better. I think that's a true statement. I would say that part of our primary job is to be skeptical. And I'm sure you've gotten this before. You know, you don't have a regulatory or quality background. And so how do you educate quality without being quality? How do you educate regulatory without being regulatory?
Yeah, that's a great question and a very pointy one. I do not see myself as educating quality and regulatory, and nor do I dare or pretend to know what I don't know. It's a very interesting and exciting time, given the development of generative AI. I've been invited to give a lot of talk, poster, and panels. And what I found is that I have to update my slides every week. I do see this is a very exciting opportunity for quality and regulatory team to learn, like, from Silicon Valley and tech world, what is happening and how the latest technology in generative AI, especially with content generation and optimizing the result, giving like a vast volume of data and having the right data at the right time, being a very exciting opportunity for their career development, for their day-to-day job, and also for them to look ahead into the future. So I see myself as a partner and friend rather than educating. Most of the times, I'm on the receiving end. I got educated, like, what's your day-to-day looks like, what are your challenges, and what's your goals, and what are your dreams with the current landscape and the current job. And then our team put on our engineer hat and think of a solution together.
So I think that's actually a better way of framing my question. I think what I was trying to ask is, how do you process the needs and wants of functions that you haven't worked in? That's probably a better question.
That's a very good question. We have a process, and we have this concept of design thinking and co-developed with our customers and users. So what we will go through the process is, like, we have a deep dive of how they do their work and especially goals. A lot of time, I believe you probably have heard of this phrase from Steve Jobs, the customer do not know what they want until they see it. And the first step is like a brain dump, where the users give us the lay of the land. How do they do the current thing? And second, the most important thing is to understand the goal. A lot of times the customer think they want a feature, but if we start from the very beginning of like, where do they want to go? What are their final optimal destination? And then work our way backward. It's much better than just give us a list of product features that they think they want. And we've made this mistake so many times when the customer says, oh, I want a bicycle. But turns out the users need might be like, hey, I want to travel from Chicago to San Francisco. Then we could get them a plane ticket or other ways to get them to the destination.
How did it go at Reps?
It was very exciting and overwhelming and very, it's a fantastic experience for our team and also hopefully for some of the audience we met. And we have our booth is very popular, constantly full with people. So I just like quickly say hi and introduce myself, learn about the job, learn about the role, and handle multiple demos at the same time. I also give a session, Imagine Regulatory Affairs in the era of generative AI. And so when my team came to help or take a picture of the session, they couldn't get in. There was like four layers of people standing. So it's really fascinating to see people so excited about the new technology and also to see like how to hear about their concerns. And most of the times we think what they will be interested in and what the industry will want to see. And then until we talk with the industry and then realize, oh, this is actually what they are thinking about. So it's quite an exciting experience.
From just understanding your customer, what have you learned that you didn't anticipate?
I didn't anticipate how open and how plugged in they are with the development of technology. Most of the time, like you put it beautifully for regulatory and quality and other functional team that or life science professionals in general, they are trained to question and they are trained to experiment and test. I was anticipating a lot of hesitation and a lot of fears and a lot of skepticisms towards like technology adoption. Because besides technology is one thing, technology is actually very easy to test. You show the data, you show the results, and then you can talk. Whether the data is accurate, the data is complete. However, change management and adopting new technology, especially generative AI, is a whole new level of challenge. It requires sometimes require organizational change and requires like there's a lot of emotions involved and people, human nature's default is to say no to changes. I was quite excited when we talked, for example, some of our customers at Greenleaf House, now Maledent, which is one of the largest consulting firms, regulatory consulting firm, policy consulting firms, and a couple of other CROs, and almost 80% of the regulatory consulting firms were like, yeah, we would love to use technology. We want our job to be much more efficient. We want rich generative AI to get rid of mundane routine and repetitive tasks so that it's free up new capacity and allocate resources so companies and professionals, regulatory and quality professionals can focus on more creative and strategic tasks.
What is generative AI?
That's a great question for compare with traditional AI that you probably heard about, like artificial intelligence, machine learning, and deep learning, generative AI. The reason that generative AI is so popular nowadays is that for the very first time, it can create much richer output and also go through very complex reasoning and go through a very complex, fairly complex tasks. For example, the traditional AI in our concept, the output will be like, oh, is the patient dead or alive? Is the data accurate? Yes or no? Very simple output. But for generative AI, you probably read in the news. Now generative AI can talk and see, like you can put a command with OpenAI and generate an image and generate a video or generate some sound. And you can, so instead of providing yes and no, a fairly simple output, generative AI can create much richer content.
I saw your software has a data writing feature, and that's what I'm thinking about when you're talking is, I think the example that I saw, I had some input into it that said something to the effect of, for the intended use of this product type, I forget which it was, and it used that product type based on other historical product types. There are other products that fit into that, maybe product code or category of products, to draft 3 or 4 different previously used or potentially usable intended use statements. Is the primary focus of what you're working on to basically help automate the submission writing process?
It's one of the features that we roll out. Thank you for very comprehensive work and preparation and to know about our product functions. So with generative AI, I think we and also the whole industry is just starting, and we have features we call Nyquist Guidance GPT, where instead of having regulatory and quality professionals and policymakers reading 25 PDFs and answer a question, you can just put in our Nyquist Guidance GPT and say, hey, what is the latest policy on, say, molecular clinical trial design, or what is the latest European guidance on combinational products with certain features? And then our Nyquist Guidance GPT will read through all the latest guidance from the FDA and from Europe and synthesize it, give you the result. What differentiates us from other off-the-shelf generative AI models, for example, OpenAI or Google Spark, is first, our data is validated, and we have the latest data and dedicated to biopharma and medical device. And the second is that our algorithm is fine-tuned. We spent 3 years and millions of dollars and really build out the largest global training set so that it enables us to have one of its best qualities of algorithm models. And that's one of the use cases. And we also have device explorer. So previously, what you described is the conventional way of you know the industry very well, and you know how to find information on different regulatory bodies, websites, and the PDFs and tables and charts are very often buried like 3 layers, 5 layers deep in the very sophisticated database. And with our solutions, you can use instead of knowing or having your brain holding all those informations and knowledge of a specific product code or company or competitor's product, we remove the tribal knowledge and requirement of industry knowledge and really democratize insights. Like a fresh graduate of college, if they have the capability, analytical skill to ask the right question, and they can come up with different ways of prime the indication for use for certain products. And then our AI will understand the human language, the question and the description, instead of memorizing a product code or a regulation number, and return a list of devices that has been cleared and approved with similar, if not exact, description of indication for use.
You mentioned Google's BART there. I know in the geographical area you live in, obviously Google's nearby, and you have some experience with the Google Accelerator. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So Google BART is one of their top products, one of the most popular products in the whole suite of Vertex AI. And a lot of the foundational research of generative AI of our current world or we are living is built by the research team, obviously called Google Brain and DeepMind from Google. And Google Accelerator is so far one of the best accelerator. I've only been to a couple, and I think they are really helpful in terms of training startup, teaching and learning from both technical skills, like very hardcore deep tech knowledge of building the clouds and the infrastructure and building generative AI, to soft skills like how to manage your team, how to do interview, how to build a startup culture.
You said the data is validated?
Yeah.
Can you elaborate on that? And you said two things when we were talking earlier about the kind of the difference between what you're doing and just the off the shelf. You said our data is validated and our algorithm has been, you said, fine-tuned with a lot of resources to make sure that both the data set is clean and the intelligence is well-trained, basically.
Yeah.
When you say data is validated, what does that mean?
To answer that question, I have to introduce a couple of, and explain a couple of concepts. So first is a pre-trained model. Generative AI for a lot of off-the-shelf algorithms or large language models we're going to use, we consider them as pre-trained model. Think of pre-trained model, smart students who just graduate with a bachelor degree in English literature. You can ask this question, you can ask the questions to the student, but which is pre-trained model, and they may or may not have the right answer, but it's definitely smart. And then fine-tuning is the process where you provide the algorithm with a dedicated data set to train this algorithm so that the algorithm can carry out specific tasks or unique tasks that you want this algorithm to do. So this process is called fine-tuning, is send our smart bachelor degree student with who major in English literature to get a PhD in microbiology, in bioengineering, and an MD. So by providing those data and the libraries of data in medical device and biopharma, we allow the pre-trained model to get fine-tuned. So what come out of that process is a fine-tuned model. It's like our new student with a PhD and MD in bioengineering, microbiology, and MD. So this particular person, in this case, like the algorithm, the fine-tuned algorithm, is much better suited to answer much more specific questions. Hey, for example, clinical trial design for certain disease or for certain indication. And when we provide this student with the training set, you have to make sure the data is validated, the data is accurate. OpenAI's model is trained on the information from the internet. The cutoff time is probably, if I remember correct, January 2020. And so anything happens after January 2020, OpenAI will have challenge to answer. And there's a concept
right?
called, yeah, you can ask what is like a historical event happening recently, and the OpenAI or ChatGPT will say, sorry, I'm just a large language model. My data cutoff day is so
interesting. I think just diving deeper into the validation, again, sorry, quality skeptical bunch, as I'm sure.
Yeah.
So with the validation of outputs, just using their software validation, that's very commonplace in the medical device place. But to use a simple example, like a spreadsheet validation, let's say you plan on using a spreadsheet for a purpose that would require it to be validated, simply put, you ensure that you outline what is the backbone of the spreadsheet. You run it through you do the calculations manually, and then you run the handful of cases or more than a handful of cases, depending on how you're going through it, and ensure that the backbone is working in the spreadsheet, basically. That what I'm seeing on paper when I calculate it is what I'm seeing in the spreadsheet when I just put in the values that I'm supposed to put in. And it's telling me pass or fail, you know, that's telling me that the capability values, whatever, and so on. And I think you spoke a lot to the training of the algorithm there. When you're talking about the data is validated, are you saying that the inputs into the algorithm are validated, or the outputs coming out of the algorithm are validated?
Both. And I also want to commend your reaction of the new message or the new knowledge, what data scope or training scope of generative AI, that is extremely helpful, because that's going back to your previous questions. What is the most exciting things about we got from RAPs to understand where the industry holds knowledge and the knowledge gap, because your podcast show is about, in some way, democratize tribal knowledge and also helping the community and share knowledge. And we need to understand first the baseline of where's the knowledge level of the audience, what do they know, what they do not know, and then have a better communication. And going back to your point on validation, so the data source has to be really validated, and also the output has to be validated as well. So we have our preparatory algorithm to go through, take US FDA data as an example, to go through the whole set and to make sure we have comprehensive data. And we will first have technical, we use the best industry practice to use some technical ways to test whether the data is accurate. And then we have a dedicated team of human experts to sample test the data to make sure, like, for example, you mentioned about paracode, and sometimes the yes from the FDA is scanned, and sometimes we even find the handwritten ones, if it's from earlier date, then we need to really look at, is it all or zero, something like small things like that. And the output of the algorithm also need to validate it. So all the outputs need to be traced back to the original data source, either from the FDA, or you mentioned about our GPT function, where we can return the indication for use for certain devices. Then we need to trace back to these devices with original PDF. So the, what on our platform is what actually the truth is, or the original data is.
What have you found to be the biggest challenge that your customers have expressed to you? What are they hoping for?
Yeah.
I think you said their dreams. Like, what is their dream?
Their dreams. I had one of the most telling conversation we had is we also have a very fun cocktail party, and it's really exciting to during the day we work hard at the booth and have worked through a lot of scientific and very nerdy brainy tasks together with our users, and at night we can share a couple of drinks and really talk about the vision and the dreams and also their deepest fear. One of our biggest fans and actually approached me and said, wow, it's really refreshing to see a female-led tech company, and especially from Silicon Valley and working in nutrition and quality side, and bring fresh, very fresh perspective into this industry. And some of the demo and feature are really impressive. They're really excited, but also very scared. What is the technology has in store for them? We all have, I know, like in your childhood, when I was a kid, I was a big science fiction fan. And of course, there's horror movies where the alien abduct the humans, or outer space life colonize Earth, something like that. So they asked the questions that currently we don't even have an answer for, where does the future host for both technology and for this industry. And we've seen the the Congress has called on big tech CEOs like Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook and all the other CEO from Google and CEO from Amazon to have a discussion on how to regulate generative AI, because some the it may appear to be a little bit too powerful for people to comprehend and adopt it properly. And so to summarize, the industry and the people are the dream is definitely like, how can they upskill to catch the trend, not only catch the wave, but also ride away with the wave and even be in the driving seat of how technology is going to shape the industry. I think for other industries, the technology is driving the changes. For example, engineers, like they see any efficiencies, they're going to really disrupt the industry. And life science, medical device, combination products, and biopharma are so unique that industry actually are in the driving seat to educate. This time is really educate and working with the tech community together to see like how we can accelerate innovation better and really have the patient's interest in at the core of decision making, not just like profits or some individual's like agenda.
So I was looking at the software modules. There's a clinical and a commercial module. The commercial module is region-based, where it has US, Japan, China, and the EU. It's informed by a big database of a bunch of devices. And then there's some other features that seem like they're outside of those, like the one that we discussed earlier, the data writer. What other features are you working on? What's the product roadmap look like? What are you scaling towards?
Yeah, this is a very exciting question. And we have spent years and millions of dollars to build the data layer. We have so what you've seen is the foundation. So Equist AI, we have one that was its kind and the largest global training sets for both medical device and biopharma. And then second layer is like the workflow. Now we have all the data. How can we augment and really accelerate the routine work? For example, previously some compilation or competitive landscape or submission need to done by compile an Excel spreadsheet or draw charts or compile a list, and that can be done easily through our platform. That's the application layer. And the third layer, we call it the brain or thinking layer, with the data and the algorithm trained through all those knowledges, so we can deploy that at a specific company and per specific request. And what is really unique about the third layer,
meaning that it's configurable
to some degree. Yes, configurable. Like, okay, we train these very smart students that go to your site, go to your company, and read all your documents and learn about you, and really be your co-pilot to help you to very quickly compile your routine work, repetitive work, and also to give you the right information at the right time. It's almost like you have a sidekick or companion. And right now, generative AI is not at like a really know all and do it all stage, but its strength is really consume large volume of data that our human brain simply cannot process that much and that fast, and really enable human experts to be better at decision making.
When you're talking about connecting to internal company data, I think the databases that you're pulling from are public domain currently. When you tie it into company data, obviously concerns and questions enter about cybersecurity. Where is that on your radar?
Yeah, thank you. So like I got to finish what's really unique about that is that a concept of responsible AI, we can help our clients, our users and companies and develop their proprietary algorithm. We don't train our model based on their data. Their data is theirs and the algorithm developed is theirs too. We don't touch the client data. We don't host their data. If they need help to safeguard the data, we can develop plans and have the technology element in place to safeguard their data. But we are not like Google or OpenAI or other companies like, oh, we need to have everyone's data. Everyone's data is unique. We don't want our algorithm is again trained on the data sets we chose and we built, and we can develop other algorithms based on specific needs of the customer.
Thank you, Michelle. Where can people find you?
So they can find me on LinkedIn, and my email is mw@nyquist.ai. And yeah, I'm very good with email. I'm very good with Dean, and they can find you. Now I am, we're friends, and they can find me through you.
Thank you, Michelle. This was great.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this special episode of the Combinate podcast. I'm your host, Subi Sade. On this episode, I was joined by Michelle Wu, who's the CEO and co-founder of Nyquist AI. In this episode, Michelle and I talk about how she deals with skeptical quality folks. We discuss generative AI and pre-trained models. We talk about distilling decades of medtech data into something that's usable, removing the tribal knowledge barrier that's common for people who don't have a lot of experience. And we talk about adopting new technologies in quality and regulatory. Before we get to the episode, I did want to say, if you're not currently subscribed to the show, please hit subscribe on whatever platform you're listening on. And if you would be gracious enough to give the show 5 stars, that would be amazing. If you do have feedback, please feel free to reach out to me with topics you'd like me to cover, people you'd like me to talk to, or anything else. I'd love to hear from you. With that, here is Michelle Wu.